You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
No sooner had the warm liquid mixed with the crumbs touched my palate than a shudder ran through me and I stopped, intent upon the extraordinary thing that was happening to me. An exquisite pleasure had invaded my senses, something isolated, detached, with no suggestion of its origin. And at once, the vicissitudes of life had become indifferent to me, its disasters innocuous, its brevity illusory. This new sensation having had on me the effect which love has of filling me with a precious essence. Or rather, this essence was not in me, it was me. Whence did it come? What did it mean? How could I seize and apprehend it? And suddenly, the memory revealed itself. The taste was that of the little piece of madeleine which on Sunday mornings at Combry, when I went to say good morning to her in her bedroom, my Aunt Leonie used to give me, dipping it first in her own cup of tea or tisane. The sight of the little madeleine had recalled nothing to my mind before I tasted it, and all from my cup of tea. In his seminal set of novels, In Search of Lost Time, Marcel Proust invoked the idea of involuntary memory with this famous madeleine moment. Delhi, our topic of conversation today, provides for similar delights, shall we say. In Delhi, this time of the year, when your eyes start tearing up, your throat is itchy, your voice is hoarse, you're out of breath when you walk just a few hundred meters, you're coughing for no apparent reason, and when your inhalers seem to run out because you're coughing relentlessly thanks to your asthma acting up for no reason, you stop, intent upon the extraordinary thing that is happening to you. And you ask yourself the same set of questions that Proust asked about this new sensation. Like a jigsaw puzzle in a fast-motion video, the Proustian questions line up with their answers like this. Whence did it come? Well, probably Haryana or Punjab or Uttar Pradesh, maybe all of the above. What did it mean? Crops are burning, smog is forming, lungs are probably dying. How could I seize and apprehend it? Well, damned if I know. It's November and the sense of déjà vu in Delhi is physical and utterly unpleasant. Like James Bond in Moonraker, the smog appears with the tedious inevitability of an unloved season. Why the smog? Why Delhi? How bad is the smog and is it, after all, inevitable? These will be among the big questions we will hope to answer on this edition of our Pick of the Day. Hoping to get some clarity through the veil of the deadly smog that Delhi draws upon herself each November, this is me, Rakesh Sharma, and you are listening to Money Control.
Editors, Pick of the Day.
Smoghouse Delhi. Everything you need to know about the smog in Delhi.
First, the latest. Severe. That is the reading on the meter and the writing on the wall. Delhi is not in a good place, meteorologically, topographically, politically. A thick blanket of smog and dust continue to choke the national capital as air quality in a number of areas has fallen to the severe category. Air quality in Delhi and the National Capital Region, that is NCR, on Tuesday, for example, deteriorated even further after an overnight spike in particulate matter, or PM. The overall air quality index, that is the average of the entire NCR, at 3 p.m. on Tuesday, as reported on the Times of India, was 401, falling in the severe. The AQI for Ghaziabad was worst in the entire NCR region at 444 points, up by 14 points from Monday, and remains in the severe category. In Gurugram, the AQI was 422, while it was 410 in Noida. On Saturday, five areas recorded severe pollution levels. They included Anand Vihar, Dwarka Sector 8, Narela, Punjabi Bagh, and Rohini. In Anand Vihar, for example, the AQI was recorded to be 841, the highest in the capital. It was 708 in Mundka, 644 in Wazirpur, and 630 in Rohini, according to Central Pollution Control Board data. The AQI, that is the Air Quality Index, considers 8 pollutants. PM10, that is particulate matter 10 microns in diameter, PM2.5, 2.5 microns in diameter, NO2, that is nitrogen dioxide, sulfur dioxide, carbon monoxide, ozone, NH3, that's ammonia, and lead. PM2.5 is the presence of particles in the air with a diameter of less than 2.5 microns, while PM10 is the presence of particles in the air with a diameter of less than 10 microns. And both are considered the major atmospheric pollutants. PM2.5 in particular poses greater harm as its fine particles can easily be inhaled into the respiratory tract and lodge themselves in the alveoli, which is where the exchange of oxygen and carbon dioxide takes place, meaning breathing. For reference though, AQI, that is the air quality index, between 0 and 50 is considered good, 51 and 100 satisfactory, 101 to 200 moderate, 201 and 300, poor, 301 and 400, very poor, and 401 and 500, severe. And Delhi has been firmly lodged in the region of severe for at least 2 days in the past. For comparison, at 12 noon yesterday, that is on Wednesday, Delhi had an AQI of 378, Kanpur 395, and for the town south, Bangalore was at 105 and Chennai at 43. At the time of my saying this, in the Jawaharlal Nehru Stadium area in Delhi, the AQI reading is a whopping 487. On the 30th of October, Delhi's overall AQI was recorded at 442, according to NDTV. Experts predict that the situation is likely to remain this way over the course of the next few days because, well, farms in Punjab have seen a rise in crop residue burning over the weekend, and add to that, winds slowing down in much of North India, and what we have is a lethal cocktail they call the Delhi smog, and no one wants to drink it. Satellite pictures released by NASA show a band of haze stretching from across the border in Pakistan to Agra in western Uttar Pradesh. A Central Pollution Control Board official speaking to Hindustan Times said, and I quote, "It is because of unfavorable meteorological conditions that air quality has worsened. A cyclonic circulation over Odisha is blocking winds, as a result of which the wind speed in North India has dropped, as has the ventilation index, which is something that determines how fast pollutants can get dispersed. Mist in the morning and pollutants from stubble burning regions of neighboring states are making the air toxic," unquote. So it's a potent mixture of winds not blowing, all these heavy particles suspended in the air, and us contributing more and more to it thanks to crop burning and firecracker bursting, and these pollutants not being able to get dispersed in the air and settling down and down, enveloping Delhi in a cloud of deadly smog. It's November, so it must mean, well, we need to talk about crop burning. In their air pollution report card of February 2018, the Environment Pollution Prevention and Control Authority for Delhi, that is EPCA, and the Center for Science and Environment wrote, and I quote, "Air pollution, we know, is a factor of sources of emissions from combustion to dust and also weather. Delhi and its surrounding regions have high pollution levels in winter because of the drop in temperature and the inversion that takes place. This traps the pollutants close to the ground and does not allow dispersion. This is why we need to monitor wind speed and directions, as winds from the west, that is from beyond Afghanistan via Punjab, can bring dust or crop residue burning, and winds from the east can bring moisture. This can combine to create smog incidents, as we have seen in the November of 2017, unquote. It is the same situation come 2018 as well. Farmers in the northern states of Punjab and Haryana set fire to the stubble left from the paddy harvest so they can keep the land ready for the next round of sowing, which generally begins from the 10th of November. And one easy way of getting rid of the stubble is to burn the stubble rather than invest in machinery to clear them. Both the state and central governments have tried to solve the problem of crop burning through assistive as well as punitive measures, but year after year, the problem resurfaces, causing immeasurable health and economic damage. Add to this already hazardous situation, Diwali and the accompanying fireworks, the air already stagnant due to meteorological conditions will get further heavier and more difficult to disperse thanks to the toxic chemicals from the firecrackers. In other words, it is only likely to get worse. An official of the Punjab Pollution Control Board said a spike in crop burning occurs again during Diwali time. He said, and I quote, "Many farmers will try to burn paddy straw by terming it as incidental fire. Last Sunday alone, there were 3,162 cases of fire reported." Kahan Singh Pannu, Punjab's agriculture secretary, said to Hindustan Times, and I quote, "The farmers took advantage of a holiday when officials were not on field visits," unquote. He said senior officials now carry out inspections on holidays as well. According to the 2015 IIT Kanpur report on air pollution in Delhi, the overall contribution of biomass burning to particulate pollution during winter is fairly high, 17% for PM10 and 26% for PM2.5. Emissions from crop residue burning contribute to this. PM2.5 in particular, like I said earlier, poses greater harm as its fine particles can easily be inhaled into the respiratory tract and other organs. Stubble burning in Punjab and Haryana contributed to 32% of Delhi's overall pollution on Saturday, according to a report by the Centre-run System of Air Quality Forecasting and Research, that is SAFAR. On Wednesday, stubble burning contributed to 22% of PM2.5 pollution in the national capital. So this is where we find ourselves yet again. What measures have been taken? Preemptive measures to contain air pollution, which is likely to worsen in the next 10 days, may force a partial shutdown of Delhi between the 1st and the 10th of November. The Supreme Court-appointed Environmental Pollution Control Authority, that is EPCA, has urged Delhiites to use public transport for the first 10 days of November to keep a check on pollution. The city of Delhi has over 35 lakh private vehicles, just for reference. Noting that private vehicles contribute to 40% pollution in Delhi NCR, the EPCA urged people to reduce the use of private vehicles during this period and use public transport or other means, such as, number one, no excavation or civil construction in Delhi NCR between the 1st and 10th of November. Number two, all polluting stone crushers and hot mix plants to stop functioning between 1st and 10th November. Number three, industries using coal and biomass as fuel to stop between the 4th of November and the 10th of November. Number four, no use of diesel generator sets in the capital. Number five, brick kilns in the National Capital Region will be closed between the 1st and 10th of November. And number six, Mundka Industrial Area to remain closed between the 1st of November and the 10th of November. The CPCB has started Facebook and Twitter accounts where residents can lodge complaints pertaining to garbage burning, unpaved roads, etc. The government has cancelled leaves of Environment Department officials. The Delhi Metro has already introduced 21 additional trains that would provide 812 additional trips. The civic agencies are, however, yet to increase parking fees, a measure listed under GRAP, that is the Graded Response Action Plan, even though air quality has been in very poor category for more than a week now. The Transport Department has also not introduced any extra buses to increase availability of public transport as of my saying this. Last week, Union Environment Minister Harshvardhan had said that the government had decided to initiate criminal prosecution against agencies which failed to comply with directives to check air pollution. The Environment Ministry's decision had come after a review meeting with 41 teams of the CPCB deployed in Delhi, Ghaziabad, Noida, Gurgaon and Faridabad found that the compliance rate of the agencies concerned in following the directives was very poor, as First Post went on to report. The Delhi government says it is ready to even revisit the odd-even scheme if the situation continues to deteriorate. The city's vehicles, like I said earlier, there are about 35 lakh private vehicles in Delhi, cause enough damage without the added burden of stubble burning. It was during a similar time in 2016 when the odd-even scheme was tried twice, between the 1st and 15th of January and 15th and 30th of April in 2016. The Delhi government has also decided to organize a clean air week between the 1st and 5th of November. An initiative with the Ministry of Environment, Forest and Climate Change and other NCR cities, Clean Air Week will bring together 52 teams along with the local police to take action against polluters in New Delhi and its neighbouring cities, including Gurugram or Gurgaon, Faridabad, Noida and Ghaziabad. Teams have also been formed to ensure safety on the roads of Delhi NCR. Each team would have a senior official from the Ministry of Environment, Forest and Climate Change and representatives from the CPCB. 44 of these teams are based out of Delhi and other cities will have two teams each supported by the local police. The teams will also ensure that the repeat offenders are taken seriously by ensuring criminal proceedings and that citizens abide by the restrictions placed on fireworks. Which brings us to Diwali and the recent Supreme Court ruling. Adding to this mess is the Festival of Lights. It may symbolize the victory of light over darkness, but in practice, it has just come to be a loud terror for dogs and the weak-hearted. To say nothing, of course, of the hazard they are to lungs. Next time you spot a vehement anti-smoking vigilante bursting crackers, remind them that according to some estimates, ladies, which are strings of 1,000 or more crackers, can be as dangerous as smoking over 270 cigarettes. Some analysts claim that the black-colored pellet, which spews out a snake when lit, can be as harmful as inhaling smoke from 464 cigarettes. About a week ago, the two-judge bench constituting Justices A.K. Sikri and Ashok Bhushan ruled that firecrackers can be used only between specific hours on Deepavali. And we did a story of the day on this very topic, so do listen to that. And not just Diwali, the court extended the ruling to other occasions as well, like Christmas and New Year's Eve. The order says firecrackers can only be used between 8 p.m. and 10 p.m. during Diwali and between 11:45 p.m. and 12:45 a.m. during Christmas and New Year's. 2 days ago, it modified its ruling on the time slots during which people can use fireworks this Diwali and allowed states to set timings. However, the 2-hour limit will remain. The court said, and I quote, "Timing for bursting firecrackers in places like Tamil Nadu, Puducherry will be changed, but not exceed 2 hours a day." In Tamil Nadu, Puducherry and other southern states, fireworks can be used from 4 a.m. and 5 a.m. and from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. during festivals, the apex court went on to say. The bench also clarified that its October 23rd judgment on use of green crackers this Diwali was only meant for Delhi and the National Capital Region. It will, however, apply across the country from next year. Now, we've spoken enough about the air pollution in Delhi, how bad it is and how it has not been resolved over the years, and what are the measures taken by the local authorities as well as the central government and the Supreme Court to curb the extent of this public health hazard. Now it is time to really understand what the health hazards of air pollution really are. The statistics are alarming and perhaps even well known, but they need repeating. According to the World Health Organization, there are 4.2 million deaths that occur each year as a result of exposure to outdoor air pollution. These deaths are mainly from heart disease, stroke, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease or COPD, lung cancer, and acute respiratory infections in children as a result of exposure to outdoor air pollution. Worldwide ambient air pollution accounts for 43% of all deaths and disease from COPD. 25% of all deaths and disease from ischemic heart disease is because of air pollution. 29% of all deaths from lung cancer is from air pollution. So cancer is not just a cigarette problem, it is also an air pollution problem. 3.8 million deaths occur every year, mostly in low and middle income countries as a result of household exposure to smoke from dirty cook stoves and fuels. In all, about 7 million deaths due to air pollution. 91% of the entire world's population lives in places where air quality exceeds WHO guideline limits. That is 9 out of every 10 people. Pollutants with the strongest evidence for public health concern include particulate matter, ozone, nitrogen dioxide, and sulfur dioxide, all of which, like I said earlier, are accounted for in the AQI, that is the Air Quality Index, and all of which are rising astronomically in the Delhi air. Particulate matter especially can cause a wide range of health problems. PM is capable of penetrating deep into lung passageways and entering the bloodstream, causing cardiovascular, cerebrovascular, and respiratory impacts, meaning strokes, heart attacks, and COPD. In 2013, PM, that is particulate matter, was classified as a cause of lung cancer by the WHO's International Agency for Research on Cancer. Ultrafine particles, which are less than a micron in diameter, pose just as great a health risk as they are capable of penetrating tissues and organs. An alarming new study presented at the European Respiratory Society International Congress warns that inhaled particulate matter is moving from lungs to placentas of pregnant women. These particles do not need to get into the fetus to have adverse effects. Their penetration into the placenta, which, by the way, nurtures the growing fetus, is enough to have an impact on the growth and development of the baby. A multi-country study in 2013 found that mothers who are exposed to air pollution of the sort produced by vehicles and power plants are much more likely to bear children of low birth weight. And now, low birth weight is problematic because it is among the leading causes of infant and child mortality in India. While it is certainly true that India is making strides in reducing under 5 age children mortality, it is also true that 1 million children under 5 die annually in this country. Emerging new evidence also suggests ambient air pollution may be causative of diabetes and could affect neurological development in children. Air pollution also negatively affects brain development during childhood, lowering children's chances of success in school and employment possibilities later in life. There is enough research to indicate that pollution can lower children's IQ, hurt their test scores, and increase the risks of autism and epilepsy. The alarm bells are obviously ringing at such a high decibel that Geneva only yesterday saw the conclusion of the first World Health Organization global conference on air pollution and health. In a new op-ed for The Guardian, Tedros Ghebreyesus, Director General of the World Health Organization, calls air pollution the new tobacco and urges that we must scale up action to urgently respond to this challenge. An alarming thought, Dr. Arvind Kumar, chest surgeon and founder of Lung Care Foundation, speaking at that very WHO conference, said there are no non-smokers in the country. He said, and I quote, "There are 51 newborn smokers born every minute in India." We must also ask ourselves the question, are we already past the tipping point? Are we without hope? The answer to that would be no, but we're frighteningly close to a point of no return. In certain health aspects, we may well have reached the point of no return. In a landmark 2004 study, researchers showed that children raised in parts of Los Angeles, whose pollution levels, by the way, are not a patch on Delhi's, faced significant and probably permanent losses of lung function. Even children who eventually moved to less polluted places during childhood never seemed to entirely recover from earlier high pollution exposures, said another study. A landmark 2015 study here in India, which tracked 11,000 school children in Delhi for 3 years, showed that nearly half of the city's 4.4 million school children have irreversible lung damage from the poisonous air. The study concluded rather alarmingly. It said it is unlikely that the deficits in lung function at the age of 17 years that has been found in a large number of school children of Delhi will be reversed as they complete the transition into adulthood. Unquote. Unlikely reversal of the deficits in lung function in these children. Reduced lung capacity in adults is a highly accurate predictor of early death and disability, some studies have gone on to show, going so far as to say that it is more accurate as a predictor than even elevated blood pressure and cholesterol. About the point of no return, some people have already chosen the easy avoidance route. Given the mountain of evidence about the inhospitality of Delhi, they have put paid to their Delhi dreams and simply moved elsewhere. A literal no-return policy. Sharath Gutikunda, one of the country's top pollution researchers, moved to Goa from Delhi and, speaking to the New York Times, was quite clear. He said, if you have the option to live elsewhere, you should not raise children in Delhi. And that was precisely what Gardner Harris, the South Asia correspondent of the New York Times, did. His son's asthma was getting worse and he saw no feasible way of continuing to live in Delhi and moved back to Washington. He wrote an op-ed about this on the New York Times, which is a must-read for anybody raising children in Delhi. Even medical ethicists are baffled. Several of them have gone on record to say it would be impossible to get approval for a clinical trial to send a group of children to Delhi to monitor their health. Speaking to the New York Times, Adil E. Shamu, editor-in-chief of Accountability in Research and a bioethicist at the University of Maryland School of Medicine, said, and I quote, "Not a chance. It is okay to survey people already there, but moving children into harm's way? No," unquote. They've started to speak of Delhi as if it was a war zone, and why not? It really is, in some ways. In Beijing, when PM2.5 levels exceeded 500, they made international headlines. Remember the brouhaha about Beijing being completely inhospitable? In parts of Delhi, by the way, those PM2.5 levels routinely go past 1,000. And for 500, Beijing cried. So yes, in a sense, the damage that we have done to the air in Delhi has in turn done some irreversible damage to our bodies that may never really be corrected. But it is not all bad news. There is a silver lining in this very, very dark cloud. A rise in awareness is a good start, and social media, in that way, is helpful. In a way, news reports which talk about how glorious India is home to the top 14 of the 15 most polluted cities in the world hit where it hurts most. The nationalistic spirit of a large majority of Indians who love WhatsApp forwards about how Indian national anthem is the greatest and the Indian Prime Minister is the greatest. Swachh Bharat or not, the reports are damning. Perhaps these reports could be an emotive call to action. There is a lot that we can do to improve air quality, but we must all play our part. No individual person or group or city or region can solve the problem on their own. It is the air we all breathe. So the problem is all ours and the solution must, by definition, involve all of us. We need strong commitments and actions from everyone. Government decision makers, community leaders, mayors, civil society, the private sector and even the individual. It'll take time and endurance, but we all have a critical role to play. How? Global commitments like the Sustainable Development Goals, the Paris Climate Accord, and the Urban Agenda 2030 were all made for a reason, and India's policymakers must be held accountable to toe the lines that have been drawn through these agreements. India, on its part, has said it will aim to reduce air pollution by 20 to 30% by 2024, an Environment Ministry official said on the sidelines of the Air Pollution and Health Summit in Geneva recently. Satendra Kumar, Deputy Secretary at the Environment Ministry, said during his presentation at the WHO summit, and I quote, "We are committed to bring PM10 and PM2.5 levels down in definite percent terms by 2024, unquote. He said this would be part of the National Clean Air Program for 102 cities called non-attainment cities, which have consistently flouted air pollution norms. These ministry officials may forget the promises they have made, but as citizens and as victims of our own doing, we must hold them accountable. Climate change, global warming, rising pollution due to burning of fossil fuels by automobiles, unchecked urbanization and industrialization, worsening public health parameters, and the impact of morbidity on the national economy are all connected. It is important that our governing bodies pay attention to the research that is out there and act along the lines drawn. And we must play our part in ensuring that they do. This is the job we elected them to do. The United Nations Environment Programme outlined 25 measures that could easily reduce air pollution. It's worth a read. According to that report, effectively implementing these 25 measures would result in a 20% reduction in carbon dioxide and a 45% reduction in methane emissions, preventing up to a third of a degree Celsius in global warming. Resulting reductions in ground-level ozone would reduce crop losses by 45% for maize, rice, soy, and wheat combined. The analysis takes any region's diversity into account and covers sectors like industry, under that category, post-combustion controls, for example, transport, promoting the use of EVs, ensuring low sulfur fuels in international shipping, enforcing mandatory checks and repairs for vehicles. In the agricultural sector, strict enforcement of bans on open burning, the sort that happens in Punjab, Haryana, Uttar Pradesh all the time. Power generation, residential cooking, heating and lighting, etc. So there are many different categories under which the United Nations Environment Programme has outlined these 25 measures that could easily reduce air pollution. But returning to our topic of the day, which is the air pollution in Delhi specifically, there are certain advances that we are already making. So there is a silver lining to this very dark cloud. On the vehicular pollution front, the Supreme Court in 2017 banned the sales of BS3 vehicles in the country. The government of India, in a rare move, has decided to leapfrog into BS6 from BS4 for all vehicles in 2020. It is also the first time in the world that BS6 norms will be implemented for 2- and 3-wheelers. This will introduce particulate standards and also separate standards for NOx, that is nitrogen dioxide, and HC, that is hydrocarbons. MOPNG, that is the Ministry of Petroleum and Natural Gas, had decided to advance the supply of BS6 fuels in Delhi to April 2018. The Supreme Court has banned the use of pet coke and furnace oil for combustion in the states of Delhi, Haryana, Rajasthan and Uttar Pradesh, and also fixed the standards for NOx and SOx. The Badarpur power plant in the NCR region has been permanently closed as of July 2018. The report of the high-level task force set up by the PMO was accepted. 1,200 crore rupees were provided in budget for action on crop residue burning. About 1,500 brick kiln owners have submitted affidavits to EPCA, undertaking commitment to shift to improved zigzag kiln technology by April 2018. As of February 2018, roughly 600 had already converted. Of course, more and more and much more needs to be done, and soon. The EPCA, in its winter report released in February, released these measures, and I quote, number one, massive augmentation of public transport so that people do not have to use their cars. Like I said, 40% of the air pollution in Delhi, in the NCR, comes from private vehicles because there are 35 lakh private vehicles in Delhi. Number two, massive move towards cleaner fuels like natural gas or electricity generated from cleaner sources, including renewables like wind and solar. Number three, massive efforts to enforce and implement directions for not burning of garbage and dust management. Currently, we do not segregate waste at the household level, and this is adding to the crisis of waste burning in the country. It's not just crop burning. Crop burning happens during a season, but waste burning happens throughout the year, and that is adding to the problems in Delhi. And number four, massive efforts to subsidize farmers' technologies that will allow them to replow the straw into the ground. There are other measures that we must employ in that there is corporate social responsibility of all of these corporate houses. Is there a way they can be engaged in clearing the paddy that the farmers themselves can't clear and end up burning therefore? Is there a way to monetize it? Is there a way to utilize these paddy straws into, let's say, making paper? I don't know, I'm just spitballing now. But these efforts within the CSR, that is corporate social responsibility umbrella, as well as the public-private partnership umbrella, must be afoot in order to solve the question of crop burning once and for all. Meanwhile, take care of your health. If you suffer from a debilitating respiratory illness and can afford to leave the city for a less polluted place for the time being, no time like now to cash that privilege. I understand that it is a position of privilege where I'm saying that from, but if it is possible, do it. The homophonically aptly titled SAFAR, or SAFAR, System of Air Quality and Weather Forecasting and Research, also gave a health advisory to the public due to increasing pollution levels. The recommendations of the health advisory asked people with heart or lung disease, older adults and children to avoid prolonged or heavy exertion. It also recommended people to go for shorter walks instead of jogs, keeping windows closed and wearing masks while stepping outside. Asthmatics, you can afford to leave your keys and phone and wallet behind at home during this time, but not your inhalers. Keep them handy and keep extra supplies ready as well. Wearing masks, like I said earlier, is a good idea. Effective masks are available at local pharmacies for about 150 rupees. Wear them when you're out and about in the world. Domestic air purifiers are a good, albeit expensive, idea. Some plants like areca, lady palm, bamboo palm, etc. are known to be air purifying. Get them. Even if they do nothing, they are plants, so no harm, no foul. Avoid sweeping the floor at home. It causes dust to rise, so stick to mopping. See a doctor if things seem to be worsening. If it is an option, try working from home. And if none of these work and you continue to suffer and you have a friend who can put you up for a few days in a city whose AQI is not in the zillions, explore that option.
Editor's pick of the day. Smokehouse Delhi. Everything you need to know about the smog in Delhi.
And finally, the image of the sprawling Rajpath, street lamps dotting the stretch, with India Gate on one end and the magnificent Rashtrapati Bhavan on the other, all covered in this diaphanous haze, certainly makes for a grand photograph, something straight out of a Gothic romance novel. Sadly, however, lungs suffer in both these. In the Gothic romance novel, it was consumption, or tuberculosis, and in the national capital, it is the COPD and every other illness that you can think of. The air we breathe should not be a luxury. And yet, it is. Every November, diatribes like mine get written and token noises are mumbled, videos go viral and promises get made. A few months out, it's out of our memory. We began this piece with the idea of involuntary memory. Let's make a collective pact. Let's tell ourselves to include wanting to do better as part of our individual voluntary memories. And if we keep slipping, ask other people to remind you, did you use a reusable cup? Have you tried using more public transport? We should hold our friends and families accountable. If we don't start with accountability at the family level and friend level, how can we expect accountability at a level that is famous to not be accountable in this country? We all breathe the same air. The struggle to get it to be clean must therefore be all ours as well. Thank you for joining us.
This has been today's Editor's Pick. And you've been listening to Money Control.